Welcome to Life Talks by Transplant Life. The views expressed in this episode do not necessarily reflect the views of LifeBulb. This is not meant to be medical advice, and any and all concerns or changes should be addressed with your medical team.
Welcome to Life Talks. My name is Jean Marie, and I'm one of the community managers here with Transplant Life. I received a kidney transplant 18 years ago. I was diagnosed with lupus when I was 16 and had a transplant when I was 24. Today, hanging out with me is Gabriel. We are going to be talking about anxiety while waiting for a transplant. Gabriel happens to be a pancreas kidney transplant patient, had a transplant 2 years ago, and he happens to be a psychotherapist.
All of the above, yes. And I'm so happy to be here with you today, Jean Marie, and even so on transplant life and being able to have a conversation with you that hopefully speaks to or maybe even helps one or two people out there.
Awesome. Yeah, I've been experiencing a bit of anxiety, I think, is what it is. I've been waitlisted on the transplant list. My GFR now is at 15%. So although I've had a very successful transplant of 18 years, I'm now back on the wait list for my second transplant. So it's been actually pretty very emotional, an emotional roller coaster. Some days I feel like I can still conquer the world, and other times I just want to lay in bed and do nothing.
I can't even imagine going into the process all over again, because I had a transplant about 2 years ago and I waited about 2 years on the list. Even before that, you're thinking about it, right? So there's so much anticipatory anxiety for getting on the wait list. And then at every step, it just is there's so many unknowns and so much limbo there. So going through that once and finally getting the outbreath, oh, the relief, figuring out what it's like to live after that. I can't even fathom going back onto it. So I imagine there's so many emotions here, and I would be so surprised if anxiety wasn't one of those. What is it like for you revisiting, like, being back in this process? Does it feel different than the first time?
Well, the first time I still thought I was invincible because I was so young, and, you know, it didn't really cross my mind. I mean, it was more like, I didn't form these special bonds yet. I feel like in your early 20s, you're still kind of figuring things out. And that's kind of how it was. And now I feel like I'm very close to my family, my sister, my nieces and nephews. So I feel like I have a lot more to lose now that I'm older. So I cannot recall whatsoever having anxiety the first time around. Could have blocked it out. but now it's like some days it's like I get so overwhelmed that I can't even function. Like, it's like I'll make a list, which usually helps a little bit, you know, like I'll have to do X, Y, and Z in order to stay active on the list. So I make those appointments, but it's very draining and not feeling all that well sometimes. Which is where I think kind of the anxiety comes in. It's like, I got to do all of these things. How do I do all of these things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it feels like there's a lot more to lose here if you don't do them. Yeah. Right. So that's more pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of pressure. And then there's the guilt.
Too.
Right.
Oh, you're not failing as well. You're older.
Yeah, my knees hurt more.
Right? And then the guilt.
Guilt. You know, there's this wave of, well, this kidney is no longer working, and my dad gave it to me. And, you know, could I have done something else to prevent it from happening? And probably not, but there's still that. Then it's like, well, if I don't stay active on the list, I don't get a kidney, then I go into dialysis. I can't travel. I can't see my family because they all live far from me. So there's just so much that starts going through my mind, and it's too much. And I just break down and just lay in bed.
It can be debilitating. Absolutely. I've been there waiting for, I think a lot of us have been there, not only just for a single moment. Sometimes, you know, you can just lay there or want to lay there for the entire day, even days, right? You wake up and you just want to lay there because it all's too much.
And I think sometimes my initial thought is, oh, it's depression. But it doesn't seem to linger like depression. So I don't know if that's something where that it is anxiety. So anxiety can be debilitating, or yeah, like I guess it's kind of like what do I do with this weird energy?
Yeah, that's the danger about it too, is so anxiety. So as you mentioned, Jean Maria, I'm a psychotherapist, and I actually specialize in working with anxiety and life transitions. And I say that not because I'm actually still not an expert on anxiety. There are times when it hits me all the time and I have no idea what to do with it, right? It's a very human emotion. We all get anxiety about things. But a lot of my training for this was actually not in graduate school, was not working with clients, but it was my own experience on the wait list here, right? There are so many unknowns and unpredictables. And what anxiety is across the board is it's almost like a parasite. Anxiety is this cognitive. So anxiety can be in your limbic system, and it can be in your thoughts. It can also be in your, it can also be physiological. So you can feel it in your body, right? It's not just in your head. However, the anxiety that you feel that is cognitive, the thoughts, it's like a parasite. It grabs on to anything it can and just runs with it and gets bigger on it. So the danger about that depression too is you think, okay, well, I'm anxious, or, you know, I'm feeling worried, or I'm feeling like I don't know, or I'm, you know, feeling all these things. And then it grabs on to, or I'm feeling not motivated. And then it grabs on to, oh, well, this is depression. And it makes it bigger and bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden it just stops you. Right. So it's like a parasite and just kind of attaches to any thoughts that it can. Usually they're in the future or in the past. Oh, this happened before. I can't, you know, I'm just going to stop now. Or this means that X, Y, and Z, this means that I'm not going to be able to. And then, why even go here? So it's really difficult to distinguish. It's important to identify. It's so important that this is what got me through every day waiting on the wait list, knowing that every single call that came to my phone, telemarketer or not, one of the 12 calls that day might be the transplant center, right? I got a deceased organ transplant, so I didn't know when it was going to come, knowing that I had to be fully ready and physically ready, but also I had to pick up every single call, knowing that might be the call. Or it might be some random telemarketer that I had to deal with then too, which is also anxiety-inducing. No one wants to pick up every telemarketer call, but c'est la vie with transplant, with being on the wait list.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So the important, I think, the defining tool here that really helped a lot of my anxiety is distinguishing what it really was. So is it something that you don't know? Is it you're feeling like you have low energy? Is it feeling like, which would be more depression, right? Is it that you don't have an appetite? Is it that you're sleepy? Is it that you just don't have any interest in this? But making it more granular, so anxiety hates being called out. Like, I know that for those of you who are listening, maybe we sound perfect, like we rehearsed this. We absolutely have not. Both Jean Marie and I had a lot of anxiety coming into this. And the first thing we did is call it out. We're like, yeah, I'm a 50. I think you said you were 15 out of 10, right?
Yeah.
You know what? Anxiety is absolutely here. And then immediately what happens? You know what? Actually, I feel a 5 out of 10. Okay. We knew that we felt nervous. We knew that things could possibly go wrong. And so just calling that out, a lot of times, like, it really hates being called out. So, oh, you know what? I'm worried right now. So identifying as granular as you can, maybe even taking the word anxiety away and saying, I'm worried, I'm fearful, I'm sad, I'm disappointed, I'm all of these things that it could be. Just identifying that is so important because then you can be like, oh, that's what this is. And
And
anxiety.
it's okay. It's okay to feel those things, right? I think sometimes as a society, we feel like we have to suppress those things. And so we don't think that it's okay to feel those things, like something's wrong with us.
So true. Yes, it's okay to feel those. The only way, and if you're a type of person who's like, oh, I don't like emotions, I don't, touchy feely, sure, but the physiologically, and all the research shows the only way to get past emotions, like you don't get around them. The only way is through them. So whether you like it or not, you have to feel your emotions, or else you're going to be pushing them down, pushing them aside, trying to go around something, and they're going to come out in some way that you absolutely don't want, that there are that are unskillful. They're going to be internalized, and the only way to get through them is to actually feel them. So it's okay. It actually benefits you to acknowledge that you're actually feeling sad or disappointment or nostalgia or any of these things. You got to feel them.
It does. It makes me feel better knowing that you have already felt these feelings before, that I'm not the only one. Because I feel a little crazy, like, oh my God, I'm worried today about the list. Or, and some days I don't even think about it at all, but other times I'm just like, oh my gosh. And I just cry, and I'm not a crier because I don't do that. But that's another conversation. But I feel like it feels like a big weight lifted knowing that these feelings are normal and just feel them. Let's just go through them, go through the motions of it.
Yeah. I found, so it's really hard as a transplant patient because you feel like you're the only one going through this. Certainly, you're the only one in your family, unless you are one of the lucky few. Well, I shouldn't say lucky, but unless you're one of the few that actually has somebody in your immediate family or circle that has been through this, alone, feeling alone and feeling isolated is absolutely one of the feelings that you're going to feel. It is. We are, in some ways, we should play the lottery every day because we are that lucky. It's not very common to be on the wait list for an organ transplant.
And there's still quite a few of us. There's over 100,000 people waiting for an organ. I mean, that's quite a bit of people.
Well, and that's the hopefulness in it, right? It can feel so isolating, but at the same time, knowing that you can feel through this or this is okay with other people, that's what saved me. Is connecting with people, either friends who told me, oh, I know somebody who did this, going on Facebook, finding kidneys dialysis support groups, waitlist groups, Transplant Life. I wish I would have known it before transplant, but connecting with people who totally understand or have some idea can relate with you on that level. Oh my God, it makes sharing it not only can you really feel through it, you can actually get really great information. And can be such a helpful experience. So finding ways that you can actually feel through the emotions during this process. Maybe it's calling somebody close to you for some things, but on some things, like you just need somebody who's going to get it.
It is pretty nice. Like I would say most of my transplant, I wasn't connected to other transplant patients. I just kind of was living my life and ignoring everything. And probably in the last 5 years or so, I started to really connect with people. And it is nice because we can talk about the same medications and the same side effects. And I'm like, Yes, because my family doesn't understand. They're like, "We'll just take a Tylenol," you know. And it's like, well, there's just a nice level of understanding from another transplant patient. And I feel like going into this second time, I feel a lot mentally healthier. Like I'm choosing healthier ways to deal with my emotions. So, yeah. Interesting, different, complicated feelings.
Yeah. Complicated is certainly one of the words there. And it doesn't take it away. I don't know. I'm not on it for the second time, but doing all these things doesn't take the anxiety. It doesn't stop it from coming, right? It's like you said, sometimes you're blind. Sometimes it's not there at all around the wait list. And then sometimes it blindsides you. Like, oof.
Yeah. Yes, because I feel strong when I go to my doctor appointments, and I feel like I have my questions ready, and you know, I feel great. And it's these weird little moments of like I'm driving by myself at some point, or I'm running a bunch of errands, and it's like I almost just feel way overwhelmed all of a sudden. And then I'm like, and then I need to call my insurance. Then I need to call my doctor again. I have another question, or like everything, you know, then it starts going, oh, now what if I don't get a kidney? Then what? So I start making plans of not having a kidney. Then I start making plans when I do get a kidney. It feels crazy.
Yeah, I hear you. What do you do? Do you do anything that actually works to get you out of that, to stop it?
I make a list. I make lists. So I have an app on my phone that's like I can just make a to-do list and I get it off my mind. So when I have it off my mind and it's somewhere where I can read, I tend to be able to kind of focus on what is the task at hand instead of my emotions just drifting off into oblivion. And that really helps me, like, okay, you know what? Because otherwise I feel like I can't accomplish the things that I need to accomplish. And I just lay in bed and just lay there. And like, I have way too many things to do in order to make my life normal. So, that has helped me. I also do a lot of meditation, yoga. So those, you like, feel like my anxiety goes to a level of like I feel it. Like I feel it in my chest. I feel it in my stomach. And so when I do yoga or I take those time to just focus on myself, I seem to start to feel a lot better. And like I have a grasp on everything.
Brilliant. Yes. All of those things.
So it's the right thing. Yes.
Well, everyone's going to have a little bit of a different, but a different way to that works for them. I agree with you. I do the same thing. It's like the physical thing is such, so it can seem scary, but it's actually probably your best tool to be able to stop it, right? You can identify a physical feeling. You can be like, oh, wait, this is my heart pounding. This is jitters. This is something like that. So meeting it physically, do yoga. I love to, when I felt anxious and I couldn't get out of something, I went and I played with my dog, right? The fetch, the being in the present, doing something physical. Or I would go and I would do a nice little, I'd kind of get lost in my block and do like a random 10 or 15 minute walk, right? Just knowing that physically you can absolutely work your way through it and not avoid it. But doing the physical bit is great. Lists are wonderful too. I want to say something about lists. That's really helpful for me too. Some people like to just journal and free write. Some people really like to meditate and just bring awareness and let things go. I'm also a visual person and a list person. And why I think that's so important for transplant patients, I bet you a lot of people listening to this will resonate with the making lists part, because there are so many things about the diseases that we go through and the medical system and the steps that we have to take in being on these wait lists and getting organs and so many health concerns that we actually need to have attention on, right? We actually need to pay attention and make so many things happen. We, especially because we have to be our own advocates in the system. Unfortunately, it rewards people for being there, for really being pushy and their own advocates. It's not set up to be a really smooth, easy process. It takes a lot of deliberate attention and action on our ends, if your experience is anything like mine. So there's anxiety, these thoughts of actually, what do I need to do next, can be helpful. We wouldn't, having a list of the actual practical steps, the things that we need to take to secure our best health outcome, that's a real thing. That's how it's being useful, right? So separating those and the lists of, okay, this is what's in my control and what I can actually do to help further my health and further my way on the wait list and make sure that I'm taken care of, versus a lot of these sites, these thoughts that are just the parasite that will take you spinning everywhere, right? But really kind of getting those clear so that you don't lose some of the practical things that you actually, maybe some of these thoughts are actually, maybe you really do need to call your doctor. Maybe you really do need to set up an appointment, right? So the list is so helpful in that. It's like, okay, this is actually the helpful stuff.
Yeah, that's perfect. Did you feel like after transplant that your anxiety went away, or it still hangs out?
Oh, no. As much as it was a breath of fresh air, but the anxiety never goes away. It changed to not anxiety about reaching a goal and getting a transplant, but it was anxiety to, what do I do now that I'm healthy? And I had a chronic condition. I had type 1 diabetes, chronic kidney disease. So it was kind of like you said, I had 10 years to live at the most, according to doctors, and was very much just trying to get to the point where I knew I could live, I was at a point of getting to. But after you have a transplant and you see that your lifespan is actually, you have so much opportunity and maybe it's longer, that's a different type of anxiety, like a more existential anxiety, right? You're like, what do I do with this gift and all this life that I now have? It just switched. So I still use the same tools here. The tools work across anxiety for the most part. Maybe they shift a little bit, but it's definitely not gone.
Yeah.
How about for you?
No, I just find because then it's like, have I lived my life to the fullest? Am I doing, am I giving justice to my organ donor? Am I living the life they would think? There's a lot of other feelings there too that I can get lost in. I could start feeling guilty that maybe I should have done even more with my life because I was given this gift. So I probably need I should just go to therapy every day. But yeah, there's a new, and I think I didn't recognize it as anxiety before, but now that it's like a new problem of being listed on the wait list now, and now I'm like, oh, now it's, it's different now, but it's probably the same old anxiety.
Yeah, I would be curious if it's, again, the components of that. Because my guess is maybe it feels all the same. Like, there's familiar flavors there. But I would be surprised if it's the exact same ingredients. Like, maybe you're actually tasting mint chip and not, chocolate chip cookie dough. But, like, some of the same ingredients are there, right? Like, you have the chocolate chips in there. You have the... So maybe it feels familiar, but I don't know.
As long as there's chocolate chips, that's okay.
There you go. Yeah, I don't mean to invalidate your experience at all. There's a lot of feelings. It's just, it's one of those things we aren't, especially the way that people talk about it, or they say, I'm just anxious, or, it's just such a, in the vernacular, everyone talks about it like this, but really, it's a combination of many different things, and those many different things and identifying them really matter. So if for nothing else, then for you to understand exactly what it is, because if you can understand that, then you already feel better.
Yeah, that's true. And knowing that other people have it as well and going through the same emotions actually helps too. So,
is this emotions wheel? Some people, you can just Google emotions wheel. It's this round wheel. And it actually branches out. I know our listeners can't see me, but maybe I'll send it. I'll make sure that it's on the footnotes here. And I used to carry it around with me every day. Sometimes I still do. Brilliant with anxiety, but especially when you're on the wait list. And it's actually this emotions wheel. And it starts at the very basic, like sad, happy, angry, and goes further out and further out and gets more granular. And on the edge, there's probably 100 different emotions. And when you feel something, when you're feeling something, especially if it's something poignant, you can go and you identify what emotion it actually is. So you can kind of start. And it is so incredibly helpful. It's sometimes life-changing, but just to be able to identify, oh, wait, that's actually what calmness feels like. That's what disappointment feels like. That's what, so you, if you, as you're feeling these things, I'd pull out the wheel and I would just carry this around with me, pocket size, be like, oh, I'm feeling this. And it's actually a super helpful tool to be able to completely blast anxiety in its footsteps, right? Or blast this kind of unknown, Rome, you just identify right there.
That sounds awesome. I'll put it in the forum. Bet you that will help a lot of people. I'll put the emotions wheel in the forum.
There's an app that I just downloaded this week that's similar, but it's a lot more. It's if you like technology, it's very savvy. It's very easy, actually. And it's called How We Feel. No strings attached. I believe it's through Harvard that they're putting this out, and it's can send you random reminders throughout the day or whatever, but you do the same thing. You kind of start with, oh, is this high energy pleasant, low energy pleasant, low energy unpleasant, and then it breaks it out and you would just identify, and then you can log it, so you can kind of actually see, like, if you were to do this before a doctor's appointment or if you were to do it whenever, you really can identify, and it points out like data and patterns, and it's really interesting.
I've seen that on my meditation app that I use. It always asks me like my mood, and I'm like, what does it matter? And I just bypass it. I'm like, step, but I probably should look at that. I don't think about it. I'm like, I'm here to meditate. No feelings required. Awesome. Well, thank you, Gabriel, for sitting down with me today and helping me through some emotions that I'm feeling for transplant. And I really appreciate you coming on and talking today.
Of course. I feel like you helped me. I feel like it's really great, no matter what the emotion is, if it's anxiety or something else, just connecting with another patient who knows what this is like and can understand is just, it's, you know what? It's actually, I think inspiring would be the right word for me.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think that's a great way to end it. It is very inspiring. I love it.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We invite you to hop on over to transplantlife.com and join the conversation. See you next time.